Hello friends, I am Priyanka and I am going to read the book The Post Office written by Rabindranath Tagore. The characters of this book are Madhav Datta, Amal Datta, his adopted child, Sudha, a little flower girl, Doctor, Dairyman, Watchman, Gaffer, village headman, a bully, King's Herald, and Royal Physician. Text Act 1 Madhav's House. Madhav, what a state I am in! Before he came, nothing mattered. I felt so free. But now that he has come, goodness knows from where my heart is filled with his dear self, and my home will be no home to me when he leaves. Doctor, do you think he? Physician, it dares life in his fate, then he will live long. But what the medical scriptures say, it seems. Madhav, great heavens, what? Physician, the scriptures have it. Bile or palsy, cold or gout, spring all alike. Madhav, oh, get along. Don't fling your scriptures at me. You only make me more anxious. Tell me what I can do. Physician, taking snuff. The patient needs the most sculptor's care. Madhav, that's true, but tell me how. Physician, I have already mentioned, on no account must he be let out of doors. Madhav, poor child, it is very hard to keep him indoors all day long. Physician, what else can you do? The autumn sun and the damp are both very bad for the little fellow, for the scriptures have it. In wheezing, scooning, or in nervous fret, in jaundice or leaden eyes. Madhav, never mind the scriptures, please. Then we must shut the poor thing up. Is there no other method? Physician, none at all, for in the wind and in the sun. Madhav, what will your in this and in what do for me now? Why don't you let them alone and come straight to the point? What's to be done, then? Your system is very, very hard for the poor boy, and he is so quiet, too, with all his pain and sickness. It tears my heart to see him wince as he takes your medicine. Physician, the more he winces, the surer is the effect. That's why the sage Chyavana observes, in medicine, as in good advice, the least palatable is the truest. Ah, well, it must be trotting now. Gaffer enters. Madhav, well, I am jiggered. That's Gaffer now. Gaffer, why, I won't bite you. Madhav, no, but you are a devil to send children off their heads. Gaffer, but you aren't a child, and you have no child in the house. Why worry then? Madhav, oh, but I have brought a child into the house. Gaffer, indeed, how so? Madhav, you remember how my wife was dying to adopt a child? Gaffer. Yes, but that's an old story. You didn't like the idea.
Mother.
You know, brother, how hard all this getting money in has been. That's somebody else's child would sail in and waste all his money earned with so much trouble. Oh, I hated the idea. But this boy clings to my heart in such a queer sort of way.
Gaffer.
So that's the trouble. And your money goes all for him and feels jolly lucky it does go at all.
Madhav.
Formerly, earning was a sort of passion with me. I simply couldn't help working for money. Now I make money and as I know it is all for this dear boy, earning becomes a joy to me.
Gaffer.
Well, and where did you pick him up?
Madhav.
He is the son of a man who was a brother to my wife by village ties. He has had no mother since infancy, and now the other day he lost his father as well.
Gaffer.
Poor thing, and so he needs me all the more.
Madhav.
The doctor says all the organs of his little body are at loggerheads with each other, and there isn't much hope for his life. There is only one way to save him, and that is to keep him out of this summer, this autumn wind and sun. But you are such a terror. What with this game of yours, at your age too, to get children out of doors?
Gaffer.
God bless my soul. So I am already as bad as autumn wind and sun? But, friend, I know something, too, of the game of keeping them indoors. When my day's work is over, I am coming in to make friends with this child of yours.
Amal enters.
Amal.
Uncle, I say uncle.
Madhav.
Hello, is that you, Amal?
Amal.
May not be out of the courtyard at all?
Madhav. No, my dear, no.
Amal. See, dear, where auntie grinds lettins in the quern, the squirrel is sitting with his tail up, and with his wee hands he is picking up the broken grains of lentils and crunching them. Can't I run up there?
Madhav. No, my darling, no.
Amal. Wish I were a squirrel. It would be lovely.
Uncle,
why won't you let me go about?
Madhav.
Doctor says it's bad for you to be out.
Amal. How can the doctor know?
Amal. What a thing to say. The doctor can't know, and he reads such huge books.
Amal. Does his book learning tell him everything?
Madhav.
Of course, don't you know?
Amal.
With a sigh.
I am so stupid. I don't read books.
Madhav.
Now think of it. Very, very learned people are all like you. They are never out of doors.
Amal.
Aren't they really?
Madhav.
No, how can they? Early and late they toil and moil at their books, and they have eyes for nothing else. Now, my little man, you are going to be learned when you grow up, and then
you will stay at home and read such big books and people will notice you and say he is a wonder.
Amal, no, no, uncle, I beg of you, but your dear fear, I don't want to be learned, I won't.
Madhav, dear, it would have been my saving if I could have been learned.
Amal, no, I would rather go about and see everything that there is.
Madhav, listen to that. What will you see? What is there so much to see?
Amal, see that far away hill from our window. I often long to go beyond those hills and ride away.
Madhav, oh, you silly. As if there's nothing more to be done but just get up to the top of that hill and away.
You don't talk sense, my boy. Now listen. Since that hill stands there upright as a barrier, it means you can't get beyond it. Else, what was the use in heaping up so many large stones to make such a big affair of it?
Amal, uncle, do you think it is meant to prevent us crossing over?
It seems to me because the earth can't speak, it raises its hands into the sky and beckons. And those who live far away and sit alone by their windows can see the signal. But I suppose the learned people,
Madhav, no, they don't have time for that sort of nonsense. They are not crazy like you.
Amal, do you know, yesterday I met someone quite as crazy as I am.
Madhav, gracious me, really, how so?
Amal, he had a bamboo staff on his shoulder with a small bundle at the top and a brass pot in his left hand and an old pair of shoes on. He was making for those hills straight across that meadow there. I called R to him and asked, where are you going? He answered, I don't know anywhere. I asked again, where are you going? He said, I am going out to seek work. Say, uncle, have you to seek work?
Madhav, of course I have too. There's many about looking for jobs.
Amal, how lovely. I will go about like them too, finding things to do.
Madhav, suppose you seek and don't find, then?
Amal, wouldn't that be jolly? Then I should go farther. I watched that man slowly walking on with his pair of worn-out shoes. And when he got to where the water flows under the fig tree, he stopped and washed his feet in the stream. Then he took out from his bundle some gram flour, moistened it with water and began to eat. Then he tied up his bundle and shouldered it again, tucked up his cloth above his knees and crossed the stream. I have asked Auntie to let me go up to the stream and eat my gram flour just like him.
Madhav, and what did your Auntie say to that?
Amal, Auntie said, get well and then I will take you over there. Please, uncle, when shall I get well?
Madhav, it won't be long, dear.
Amal, really? But then I shall go right away the moment I am well again.
Madhav, and where will you go?
Amal, oh, I will walk on
crossing so many streams, wading through water. Everybody will be asleep with their doors shut in the heat of the day, and I will tramp on and on, seeking work far, very far.
Madhav, I see. I think you had better
be getting well first. Then,
Amal, but then you won't want me to be learnt, will you, uncle?
Madhav, what would you rather be then?
Amal, I can't think of anything just now, but I will tell you later on.
Madhav, very well. But mind you, you aren't to call out and talk to strangers again.
Amal, but I love to talk to strangers.
Madhav, suppose they had kidnapped you?
Amal, that would have been splendid. But no one ever takes me away. They all want me to stay in here.
Madhav, I am off to my work, but darling, you won't go out, will you?
Amal, no, I won't. But, uncle, you will let me be in this room by the roadside?
Dairyman, curds, curds, good nice curds.
Amal, curd sailor, I say curd sailor.
Dairyman, why do you call me? Will you buy some curds?
Amal, how can I buy? I have no money.
Dairyman, what a boy! Why call you then? Why call out then?
Oh, what a waste of time!
Amal, I would go with you if I could.
Dairyman, with me?
Amal, yes. I seem to feel homesick when I hear you call from far down the road.
Dairyman, lowering his yoke pole.
Whatever are you doing here, my child?
Amal, the doctor says I am not to be out, so I sit here all day long.
Dairyman, my poor child, whatever has happened to you?
Amal, I can't tell. You see, I am not learned, so I don't know what's the matter with me.
Say, Dairyman, where do you come from?
Dairyman, from our village.
Amal, your village? Is it very far?
Dairyman, our village lies on the river Shamli at the foot of the Panchmura Hills.
Amal, Panchmura Hills? Shamli River? I wonder. I may have seen your village. I can't think when, though.
Dairyman. Have you seen it? Been to the foot of these hills?
Amal, never. But I seem to remember having seen it.
Your village is under some very old big trees just by the side of the red road, isn't that so?
Dairyman, that's right, child.
Amal, and on the slope of the hill, cattle grazing.
Dairyman, how wonderful, cattle grazing in our village. Indeed there are.
Amal, and your woman with red saris fill their pitchers from the river and carry them on their heads.
Dairyman, good, that's right. Woman from our dairy village do come and draw water from the river. But then it isn't everyone who has a red sari to put on. But, my dear child, surely you must have been there for a walk some time.
Amal, really? Dairyman never been there at all.
But the first day doctor lets me go out, you are going to take me to your village.
Dairy man, I will, my child, with pleasure.
Amal, and you will teach me to cry curds and shoulder the yoke like you and walk the long, long road?
Dairy man, dear, dear, did you ever?
Why should you sell cards?
No, you will read big books and be learned.
Amal, no, I never want to be learned. I will be like you and take my curds from the village by the red road near the old banyan tree and I will hawk it from cottage to cottage.
Oh, how do you cry? Curds, curds, fine curds.
Teach me the tune, will you?
Dairy man, dear, dear, teach you the tune? What a notion.
Amal, please do. I love to hear it. I can't tell you how pure I feel when I hear you cry out from the bend of that road through the lines of those trees.
Do you know, I feel like that when I hear the shrill cry of kites from almost the end of the sky?
Dairy man, dear child, will you have some curds?
Yes, do.
Amal, but I have no money.
Dairy man, no, 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 don't talk of money. You will make me so happy if you take some curds from me.
Amal, say, have I kept you too long?
Dairy man, not a bit. It has been no loss to me at all. You have taught me how to be happy selling cards.
Exit.
Amal, intoning.
Curds, curds, fine curds, from the dairy village, from the country of the Panchmura hills, by the Shamli bank.
Curds, good curds, in the early morning, the woman make the cow stand in a row under the trees and milk them, and in the evening, they turn the milk into curds.
Curds, good curds.
Hello, there's the watchman on his rounds.
Watchman, I say, come and have a word with me.
Watchman, what's all this row about? Aren't you afraid of the likes of me?
Amal, no, why should I be?
Watchman, suppose I march you off then?
Amal, where will you take me to?
Is it very far right beyond the hills?
Watchman, suppose I march you straight to the king?
Amal, to the king?
Do, will you?
But the doctor won't let me go out. No one can ever take me away. I have got to stay here all day long.
Watchman, doctor won't let you, poor fellow.
So I see. Your face is pale and there are dark rings round your eyes. Your veins stick out from your poor thin hands.
Amal, won't you sound the gong, watchman?
Watchman, time has not yet come.
Amal, how curious. Some say time has not yet come, and some say time has gone by.
But surely your time will come the moment you strike the gong.
Watchman, that's not possible. I strike up the gong only when it is time.
Amal, yes, I love you here. I love to hear your gong.
When it is midday and our meal is over, uncle goes off to his work and Auntie falls asleep reading her Ramayana. And in the courtyard, under the shadow of the wall, our doggy sleeps with his nose in his curled up tail. Then your gong strikes out dong, dong, dong. Tell me, why does your gong sound?
Watchman, my gong sounds to tell the people time waits for none, but goes on forever.
Amal, where? To what land?
Watchman, that's none knows.
Amal, then I suppose no one has ever been there.
Oh, I do wish to fly with the time to that land of which no one knows anything.
Watchman, all of us have to get there one day, my child.
Amal, have I too?
Watchman, yes, you too.
Amal, but doctor won't let me out.
Watchman,